This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Monday, July 17th, 2017. I'm Caleb Brown. The rise of both drug-related violence and populism in Mexico are troubling, and unfortunately, they're also related. Ian Vasquez directs the Cato Institute's Center for Global Liberty and Prosperity. He says drug crackdowns have done little to stem either the flow of drugs or the violence that surrounds the drug trade.
It's turning out that 2017 is probably going to be the most violent year in on record in Mexico since the Mexican government started taking records on this some 20 years ago. They reported that May was the most violent month so far in 20 years. For the year up until that month, almost 10,000 drug deaths have occurred. And this is occurring after a few years where drug violence has had gone down. Remember that the current president, Enrique Peña Nieto, was elected in 2012 on a campaign rejecting the drug violence that had been racking Mexico for years. That previous president, President Calderon, had come into office in 2006 and immediately he declared a war on drugs and a war on the drug cartels. And at that point, drug violence in Mexico just skyrocketed, and so did corruption and all of the problems associated with prohibition and the drug war. During that president's term in office, which was six years, there were nearly 120,000 deaths. So this became a huge political issue, and the current president came in and campaigned against it, and the populists rejected those policies and elected him. For a while, it looked like he wasn't following the same policies, but soon enough, he started following this capture and kill the drug kingpin strategy. And that never works out because it creates a huge void, a power vacuum that other drug cartels and other drug organizations try to fill in, and they do it with violence. And so then you end up having violence of the drug traffickers fighting each other and fighting against the government, and this huge increase in corruption as different aspects or parts of the Mexican government on the federal level, on the local level, on the state level become thoroughly corrupted, from the police to the judges to everything. And that's been the problem in Mexico. And it looks like that has now returned even worse than before. And the big reason why that's happening is precisely because of the capture of Chapo Guzman, the leader of the Sinaloa cartel, the most important of the many cartels in Mexico. Last year, the beginning of last year, and then his extradition at the beginning of this year to the United States, that has created a huge power vacuum. Remember that the Sinaloa cartel has control of the U.S. retail market in large part. It controls as much of a retail market as all the other Mexican drug cartels combined. And so this has created this surge in drug violence, along with the growth in the heroin market in the United States. Heroin is use is on the rise, and so heroin poppy production in Mexico has increased dramatically. In 2013, poppy cultivation increased by 160%. Then the next year, 64%. It's just been growing. So these are huge markets, and this is the environment in which this violence is starting to rack Mexico again. And of course, it makes security, once again, a big political issue, and it's giving a lot of opportunity and space for this populist leader, Manuel López Obrador, to gain momentum again, and he is now leading in all the polls. That explains part of his rise, and that's something very worrisome.
What is the platform of the populist, I guess, insurgents in a way, if the current platform is to crack down as vigorously as possible on drug kingpins?
Well, López Obrador is a leftist populist in the tradition of Hugo Chávez. So he rejects free trade. He rejects market reforms. He's in favor of all sorts of redistribution, class warfare, and he's anti-American. Like so many populists, he's vague on his actual – on his specific proposals. He deals with feelings and the angst of people and big abstract ideas. And that's gotten him a long way. And I would say that a major reason why he's been able to rise in the polls is precisely because of what you might call the Trump effect. President Trump has really – created sort of an anti-American sensation among some group of Mexicans, and I think understandably so through his anti-immigrant rhetoric and his denigrating comments about Mexicans themselves and about his policies to put up a wall and his visit to Mexico, meeting with the current president and then coming back and saying that, well, they're going to build a wall anyway and Mexico's going to pay for it was seen as quite insulting. So that has made the current government very unpopular. And any governments that have wanted to cooperate with the United States, which has been the big change in Mexico in the last 25 years or so, is that relations between Mexico and the United States have been good. There's been the free trade agreement. Mexico has turned around. It's not a star country economically like it should be, but it's stable and it's performed so much better and without crises for many years now. This is about to turn around if this López Obrador gets elected. And I would say that maybe it's ironic, but it's not such a surprise that the supposedly pro-American Trump's one of the results of his policies and attitudes is to create this anti-American political movement in Mexico that could really roll back the clock on the most important policy pro-modern policy changes in Mexico over the past several decades.
So let's be clear on the specific issue of the prohibition-driven drug violence. There's not much policy-wise that Mexico itself can do to stem that tide at this point.
The big problem, of course, is that the demand is in the United States, and we here in the U.S. practice prohibition. That creates the huge black market premium that drug producing and drug transit countries like Mexico have to deal with. Even if Mexico legalized, you would still have this tremendous demand in the United States where it's illegal, and you would still have these organizations trafficking. So there are things that Mexico can do, but unless and until the United States changes its overall policies, I think that they can only go so far. Having said that, they can't really afford themselves the time to wait for the United States to change their habits, change habits here or policies. So I think that one of the proposals that former Foreign Secretary Jorge Castañeda, who was President Fox's foreign secretary, one of his proposals, I think, is reasonable, which is that Mexico should do what Canada did during Prohibition, during the United States episode of Prohibition in the 1920s and 30s, and that is nothing. Not impose prohibition in its own country, not cooperate on the policies of prohibition, and simply allow the business of exporting to go on. And he suggests that Canada even tax those exports, but it did not commit the errors of prohibition, which the United States did, and finally, as we know, it overturned. That's not a perfect solution, but I think it would improve the situation in Mexico. And of course, that doesn't resolve all of its problems. There would still be a lot of problems because you are dealing with criminal organizations that are involved in other types of crimes, so they would still have to deal with that. But it would probably vastly reduce the level of corruption and crime that is racking that country now.
But it is sort of a strange and counterintuitive conclusion to have to draw that the United States prohibition on drugs is actually empowering socialists in our neighboring countries.
So it's the prohibition on drugs, the drug war that is helping to create this, and this particular administration's anti-Mexican and anti-immigrant policies and rhetoric.
Ian Vasquez directs the Cato Institute's Center for Global Liberty and Prosperity. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast at iTunes and Google Play, and follow us on Twitter at Cato Podcast.